as those musicians were called up for that impromptu song, I thought of my favorite parable. Blessed are the flexible, for they shall never be broken. I don't think that's in the Bible, though, but it has a nice ring to it. And I have to admit this morning, had David not knocked on my door at 8 a.m., I would still be asleep right now. So I had a quick breakfast, and here I am, praise the Lord. Some days you wake up and you say, good morning, Lord. And other days you say, good Lord, it's morning. And I think it was the latter this morning. Well, let's take our Bibles and open them to the book of Revelation, chapter 12. And as David mentioned yesterday, we talked about the kingdom. The prior day, we talked about the importance of prophecy, and today we're more focused on current events. So I'm going to bring to you this morning three topics that relate to really what's going on in the world. And the one we're trying to tackle in this session is the mystery of anti-Semitism, or as the brochure says, what motivates anti-Semitism. So we've seen yesterday through four sessions this grand plan that God has to bring His kingdom to the earth. Now, do you think the devil is just going to sit there and let it happen without a fight? Of course not. The devil, the great adversary, fights God every step of the way, which is sort of foolish when you think about it. I mean, how do you fight God and think you can win? But apparently, Satan fights God thinking he can win. That's how deluded he is in his own understanding. In fact, there's a very interesting statement about Satan in Ezekiel 28. It says that his wisdom has been corrupted. So you're not really dealing with a rational being. You're dealing with a powerful being, but not necessarily rational. And Satan in his darkened mind actually believes that he can stop God's prophecies from coming to pass. And so we're going to go through this morning, in this session, Revelation chapter 12, verse by verse. Probably more than any other chapter of the Bible I know, it pulls back the curtain, it pulls back the veil, and it allows us to see the strategies of the devil himself and what he does to prevent God's purposes from going forward. Let's begin with a definition of anti-Semitism. I'm going to define anti-Semitism as follows. Anti-Semitism is an irrational and transgenerational hatred for the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let me give that to you again. An irrational and transgenerational hatred for the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. As we're going to see this morning, Satan hates the Jewish people with a passion for the simple reason that God has covenanted himself to work through the Jewish people to bless the world. Do we have anti-Semitism in our world today? Of course. You'll notice on the right there, Ahmadinejad, the former leader of Iran, who hosted a conference called the World Without Zionism Conference. And in that conference, he's reported to have said that his ambition is to wipe Israel off the map, which in a certain sense is a step forward because most Muslim maps don't even have Israel on the map to begin with. So at least he's acknowledging Israel has a place on the map. And then, of course, the middle figure you recognize well, the notorious Adolf Hitler, through his final solution, exterminated through the Holocaust 6 million Jews. If you ever go to Israel, I would encourage you to go to the Holocaust Museum, Yad Vashem, is I think how you pronounce that. And it's a historical record of the lives that were lost. And it was so smart for the Jewish people to build that, because now people like Ahmadinejad are denying the Holocaust ever happened to begin with. And this museum documents that it was a historical fact. It really did happen. The name, other individual on the far left is sort of a shock that I would have his picture up there. Do you know whose picture that is? That's Martin Luther. And this is troubling for me to even talk about because I've always had a high respect for Luther. I still do in a lot of ways. He made tremendous contributions to the Christian faith. But at the end of his life, he grew very impatient with the Jewish people and wrote a tract that spans almost 80 pages. The name of the tract, which you can find easily on the internet and download it to your Kindle for free, is called The Jews and Their Lies. Let me give you some excerpts from that tract. Luther says, first, their synagogues should be set on fire. Secondly, their homes should likewise be broken down and destroyed. Thirdly, they should be deprived of their prayer books and Talmuds. Fourthly, their rabbis must be forbidden under the threat of death to teach any more. Fifthly, passport and traveling privileges should be absolutely forbidden to the Jews. Sixthly, they ought to be stopped from charging usury. That would be interest on loans. Seventh, let the young and the strong Jews and Jewesses be given the flail, the axe, the hoe, the spade, the distaff, and the spindle. Let them earn their bread by the sweat of their noses. We ought to drive their rascally lazy bones out of our system. Therefore, away with them. To sum up, dear princes and nobles who have Jews in your domains, if this advice of mine does not suit you, then find a better one, so that you and we may all be free of this insufferable, devilish burden, the Jews. Now, just a couple of points on this track. You see how many times I have the ellipsis there? If you look in the upper left-hand corner, the dot, 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 that's the ellipsis. And that represents, what does that represent? Spaces between sentences. So in other words, there's a lot of things that have been left out that could have been included, and I just had to include certain statements for the sake of space. Beyond that, I believe it's possible for anybody to misspeak. I've mangled a syllable or two in my own day. But you see, when somebody is writing something, they have a chance to reflect very deliberately on what they're going to say and their thoughts. And Luther didn't make this statement, you know, just impromptu because he was in a bad mood one day. I mean, this is deliberately thought out. And he goes on and on and on like this, almost for 80 pages. And I believe largely what has happened is Luther was setting a theological foundation for the Holocaust in his own day. Luther, of course, being from Germany. Hitler would later arise and use Luther's writings, you know, largely as a theological justification for the final solution. So it's a very troubling thing to look at anti-Semitism. And it seems as if it's transgenerational in the sense that one generation comes, the next generation comes, the next generation comes, and anti-Semitism just flows right on through the generational lines. I mean, who would have imagined so close to the time period that we're living in the wake of the Holocaust, which happened back, as you know, during the World War II era, that we would actually have Holocaust deniers and people standing up and saying the Holocaust never happened. It's almost as if we've learned nothing from the Holocaust, and a lot of people deny the Holocaust even took place. So the question we're trying to ask and answer in this session is why? Why is there this transgenerational, irrational hatred for the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? And that's why I had you turn to Revelation 12. What we're going to learn here in Revelation 12 is that anti-Semitism is not ultimately rooted in human rationale or logic. Anti-Semitism ultimately emanates from the fallen angelic world. Its source is none other than Satan and the demons. And as you know from reading the Bible, the spiritual world is very real. There are things happening in the spiritual world that constantly affect the physical world.